Good morning, Open Arms Christian Church. Good Memorial Day weekend. And take the time to remember those people who have gave everything for us. And biblically as well, you know, there's a remembrance for people who gave all so that we could live the way we live today, back in the biblical days. But I don't want to go there today. What I want to talk to you about today is the unrivaled power of prayer. And what do I mean by that? I mean there is nothing in this world, not cars, not trucks, not strength and build weightlifting guys, not anything that can rival the power of prayer. And we're going to be in Daniel today. But I have something I'd like to share with you, and kind of goes along with prayer, kind of not, but it's words to live by. No matter what anyone says, just show up and do the work. If they praise you, show up and do the work. If they criticize you, show up and do the work. If no one even notices you, just show up and do the work. Just keep showing up, doing the work, and leading the way. Lead with passion. Fuel up with optimism. Have faith. Power up with love. Maintain hope. Be stubborn. Fight the good fight. Refuse to give up. Ignore the critics. Believe in the impossible. Show up. Do the work. You'll be glad you did. True grit leads to true success. And as I thought about those words and I thought about the situation we're in with COVID-19, and thank God we're almost out of this. You know, there is no other reason other than God said, enough's enough. I got to get my people back in church. I got to get people back to doing their normal lives. That we're going to come out of this and we're going to be okay. And you know, next week's going to be a time of celebration when we come back as a family in the church. And we're able to worship together. It's going to be different. It's going to be different. But we will be back in the house of the Lord. And we will worship together as one family. So keep your nose to the grindstone. Keep pushing through. Keep doing the work for God. Even when we don't think anybody's watching. Or we don't think anybody is seeing what we're doing. Or they're criticizing us and tell us we can't. Guys, we can, and next week we'll get an extra recharge by being back together in the house of the Lord. Let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and I ask you to just take everybody's week and just unwind it here, Lord, and take my mind and just shut it off, and use me as a mouthpiece for the message you want delivered. And Lord, I know you're talking to me, but I hope there's somebody else out there that can get something out of this message. In your name I pray. Amen. So we're going to be in Daniel, and you know, everybody's going to say, oh, he's using Daniel in the lion's den. Yes, but I want to really dig into Daniel here. I want you to understand what Daniel stood for, what Daniel really mean. So we're going to start in Daniel chapter 1. And in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hands, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Aspenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained there for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, and I will butcher these. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. You know, it's funny how I wanted to use Daniel, but it's going to turn into using all four of these guys. But here's what I want you to pay attention to. This next section, this just tells you what kind of loyalties and what kind of things Daniel had for the Lord. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. Guys, you've heard of the Daniel fast. This is the Daniel fast. This is the way I've done this before, and it purifies your body. And guys, in this case, it purified their minds. It made them whole. But that was bold. That was bold for Daniel to do that. Let's move on into verse 15. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. So guys, here's Daniel, he's on the uprise. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they're on the rise too because they're in God's favor. In fact, in verse 20, it says, "In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king had questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom." And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. So that's pretty cool. Daniel and these guys put their faith in God, and look what it got them. Have we ever had a situation where we can do one of two things? We can put our faith in ourselves, or we can put our faith in God. You know, when we put our faith in ourselves, and sometimes we're successful. But these guys put their faith in God, and they were 10 times more successful. Anybody not want to be 10 times more successful than they currently are? That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And these guys were young guys. So then we go into, you know, Daniel interprets dreams. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't always like it. But here in chapter 3, then, he puts these guys into the furnace. And he heated the furnace 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace. And we know what happens. These guys were walking around praising God, and they came out not a mark on them. So that's pretty cool. But I want to go further because, yes, did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did they praise God? Did they pray to God? Yes, they did. I want to get into Daniel a minute. You know, this guy, he's pretty cool dude. He didn't hold any punches with these kings. When they asked him what his dream interpretation was, he told them. And remember, he's 10 times smarter than anybody else. So, let's move on to chapter 6. Verse 1, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. So, guys, Daniel is pretty powerful in this time. He has some natural powers that God has let him have. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king may not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God. So here's a guy, Daniel, that has his whole time here, has not wanted to defile himself, has not went against his God's wishes. And guess what? That's what's going to get him in trouble. Guys, I want you to think of your life. Do we always stand up and do the right thing that God wants us to do? And if not, why not? Daniel gives us a perfect illustration of why we should. No matter what happened to him, he kept coming out successful. He came out better than he was before. But you know what? He leaned on God through everything. So they basically, these guys went in and they made the king say, okay, for the next 30 days, no one's going to do anything to anybody except for me. I want everybody to worship me for the next 30 days. Because they knew Daniel was not going to do that. So King Darius put the decree in writing. What's the very next thing Daniel does? Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking for God's help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, nor to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. So the king did not want to do this to Daniel. Then the men as a group, in verse 15, then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continuously, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment brought to him, and he could not sleep. Guys, this is pretty dire for Daniel. This is pretty dire. You know, this was a big deal. And the king was tricked into this because he loved Daniel. He thought Daniel was a pretty cool dude. He didn't want any harm to come to Daniel. Daniel had helped him. And he was sick. He was sick. But he did it because that was the laws. And sometimes today I find ourselves doing stuff because of stupid laws that make no sense. Or stupid things that we do because we've always done them. You know, you can't break that tradition. That's just the way it is. So here's Daniel, and in verse 19, at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I done any wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted out of the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. We'll get to the irony of this in a minute. But guys, what I want you to take from this is Daniel trusted God. In fact, so much that when he was thrown in there, what did he do? He prayed. He prayed. And I don't know if Daniel would have cried out at that point. I don't know if Daniel was a quiet prayer. But it says, God sent the angel and closed the mouths of the lions. Here's the irony of the whole thing. All these guys, at the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel, were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all nations and people of every language in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is a living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heaven and the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. You know, Daniel went from being what they thought would not be anything left to Daniel to, man, he persevered. God delivered him through it. And he came out better than before because now this king is bought into God. So because Daniel had faith and because Daniel never wanted to defile himself since the very beginning of this whole story, Daniel never defiled himself and he always stood out by trusting God. He always stood out by praying to God. He always stood out because he was not going to let his God down. Guys, I think it's this time of isolation that some of us have been in. And you know, my prayer is that we got deeper in our relationships, that we got deeper into prayer, that we got bolder in our prayer. I don't know if that... I know for me, it's changed the way I look at things. You know, I wasn't off, but I was awful thankful, and I praise God every day that I was able to go to work. And I know, you know, there was times when I really didn't want to be in Marion. You know, it was up there, ranked number one in the world or nation for this disease. Now it was all mostly in the prison, but I don't have to go there. But guys, I wouldn't have been scared to go into that prison. Don't tell my wife. But I would not have been scared because I know God had his hand on me in that whole thing. I know God has had his hand on all of us through this whole thing. And I said this at the beginning of this COVID or whatever you want to call it, this pandemic, and I'll say it now. I think God used this as a time to recharge us as Christians. He used this as a time to slow us down and to make us draw nearer to him. I don't know what that means. I don't know, you know, is the end of the world coming? Maybe. I don't know. But here's what I'll tell you. There's a lot of people that did a lot of praying and did a lot of soul searching and did a lot of, you know, just getting back to their roots during this whole thing. I'm going to share some more passages, but I also want to talk about just the unrivaled power of prayer. In Romans 8:26, we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Guys, when we realize that when we go to prayer, you know, there's things that we don't say. Guess what? The Holy Spirit says them for us, and God listens. When we are born again of God and we have the Spirit of God in us, he expresses for us things we cannot say. God searches your heart, not to know what your conscious prayers are, but to find out what the prayer of the Holy Spirit is. So as we're, you know, we pray when we sit down for supper every night, and that's one thing that we've been able to continue since the girls have been little is we have supper together as a family just about every night. Now, some nights it's three or four of us. Some nights it's all five of us. But that's an important time for us because we get to unwind from the day. We get to just chill out. But I make the girls pray out loud for supper because I think it's important that they understand that prayer is very vital. Prayer is very... important. And when we're praying, not only is what is coming out of our mouth heard, what is in our heart is heard. And guys, there's a lot of times when I pray, I don't want God looking into my heart. But you know he does. And then he convicts me of it. And then I deal with it. And then we move on. 1 Corinthians 6:19. The Spirit of God uses the nature of the believer as a temple in which to offer his prayers of intercession. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. When Jesus cleansed the temple, he wouldn't allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Mark 11:16. The Spirit of God will not allow you to use your body for your own convenience. What? The Spirit of God will not allow you to use your body for your own convenience. Wow, you mean God's really in control? Yes, I do. Have we come to realize that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? If we have, then we must be careful to keep it undefiled for Him, much like Daniel kept his body and his mind undefiled so that God could use him. Guys, that's what I want you to think about. Remember, what we put in, man, it's going to show up and come out. And when we pray, our prayer is always heard. Whether it's said or not, our heart is heard. You know, we can talk about a lot of other guys that prayed, and you know, I'm going to take you to one more passage on prayer. And we are going to go to Psalms 16. We're just going to see what is going on back here. Psalm 16, verses 1 through 11. Keep me safe, my God, for you, in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the godly who are in the land, they are noble people, in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer and more and more. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion in my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, but my body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Guys, that is the security that we have. We have the security. We should be able to say that confidently. Psalm 16, that prayer, that we should be able to recite that, because God has us in his hand. God has us. God knows our heart. God knows where we are, and he loves us anyway. You know, Psalm 17 is a good one too. I mean, I could go on and on about while we're in the Psalms, but I want you to think about that. Lord, you have assigned me my portion in my cup. You have made my lot secure. Guys, his plan for us was predestined a long time ago. Predestined is probably not the right word. But his plan for us, he knew it a long time ago. And we need to be secure in the knowledge that God cares a lot for us. He is not going to put us in situations that are no good for no reason. He put Daniel in a situation that could have turned out bad. But because Daniel was pure and he stayed true to who he was, God delivered him. My prayer is, as we get back into our normal lives, we need to stay secure with who we are in our God and live our life like it's our last. I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. He doesn't go anywhere. He's always right there with us. Guys, and that's the power of prayer. There is no other force in this world that's greater than the power of prayer. And the power of our relationship with our God. If we walk away from that, guess what? God still wants us. God still looks out for us. But he lets us stumble. And then we have to come back. You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. Nor will you let your faithful one see decay. Guys, he's got his hand on us. He's got his hand on us and around us and surrounding us. And this verse 11 is probably my favorite verse. You will make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Guys, when we're in his presence, there's nothing greater in the world. There is nothing greater in the world than being in God's presence. And I hope you're looking forward to next week. I hope you're looking forward to coming back into God's house. I think we've been in his presence. But I'm looking forward to coming back into God's house with God's people and my family. I miss you guys. I really can't wait to be back. And go this week and have that security knowing that we are in God's presence. God knows our heart before we speak it from our lips. Sometimes that gets scary. But you know, he will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. We serve a God that is way more loyal than what he should be. We serve a God who has a bigger plan for each and every one of us. My prayer is that we think about that, and as we head back into our lives and we head back into some sort of normal, I don't even know what that looks like, pray fervently. Pray with wild abandon. Pray boldly that we can do what's right and not defile ourselves for our God. So as I close up, I'll end in prayer, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody next week. I'm not sure this message makes sense to anybody, but man, it's something I needed to hear. I hope you get what God wants you to take out of it. But what I will tell you is to pray boldly. Pray never ceasingly. And pray like there's no tomorrow. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we thank you for everything that you do for us, Lord. And even now as you're looking into our hearts and you're seeing what all our junk looks like, Lord, and you know we're not worthy, but you love us anyway. Lord, I just love you for that, and I thank you for that because I am not worthy. I fail every single day, Lord, but I'm right there, and you pick me back up, and you dust me off, and you put me back to work, Lord, and you just keep putting people in my place, and I love you, and I thank you for that, Lord, and just be with this church, and be with all the people that are, as we come back next week into your house, and just let us come back and have a worshipful heart, and be ready to worship God with other Christian family members. This whole pandemic thing has been neat to me because every Sunday, regardless of what we're doing, we still go to church. We still listen to the message. We still do those things. But Lord, it's also deepened our relationships and our families. It's also hopefully deepened our relationships with you, Lord. Lord, as we head back into next week, don't let us get busy. Don't make us busybodies. Just keep us in that place where we worship you and we pray to you ever ceasingly, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great week. We'll see everybody here at 8372 State Route 61 next week. Have a good week. See you next week. Thanks.